All right, so congregational midweek time. I want to give you a glimpse into where we're headed tonight. So if I can get us going to the next slide. Did that work by this? No, it's got to be you. Okay, so we'll just have Efren prompted on that. So this is where we're going tonight. We got a number of things that I want us to talk about. The first thing we're going to do is we actually have a new name. We have a new name as a church. So I'm going to be introducing that to you and also our mission statement and along with that, a cool new logo. It's actually not that different than what we had before, but I'll introduce that to you and let you take a look at it. And the next item on our agenda, so I want us to be aware of the leadership here in the Hudson Valley. There's actually a lot of different people in leadership positions, so I want to lay that out for you just so you're aware of who those people are and make that connection. After that, we're going to describe how life groups and life stage ministry events help accomplish the mission. So I'm not going to do a lot of specific teaching about that tonight. I just want to address that and help you to understand how that fits into the mission. When we get to the fall workshop, I'll do some more specific teaching around that. I'm also going to describe the importance of spiritual and self-evaluation personally and as a church, and also to see how that helps us understand if we're making progress towards reaching our mission and fulfilling that. The specific tool that we're going to use is the Christian Life Profile Assessment, so I'll give you some more direction on that, some specifics around what that tool is and how that works. And then also, going to help you to be aware of the Life Group Leader Selection Process. I'll be sending that out via Remind tomorrow, but I'll give you some details around how that's going to work. Okay, so a jam-packed agenda tonight, lots of cool things to talk about, so let's jump right into it. So our new name, drum roll please, is, okay, good, yeah, knee slaps on that, is the Hudson Valley Church. Big shock, right? But let me explain how this, maybe you were hoping for like, you know, Resurrection Church or something. But yeah, so we're moving beyond Hoover with this. We're now the Hudson Valley Church. But let me explain. So, you know, back in the day, we were known as the Rockland Church. Amen. That was cool. And then we moved to better, you know, account for Orange County and Rockland County as the Hudson Valley region of the New York City Church of Christ. That was our whole name. That's a long name. That's a lot to say. That's a lot to explain to people. So now, just to simplify it, we're going to be known as the Hudson Valley Church. Now, let me say this. We're still connected with the New York City Church of Christ in the same way, which is a good thing. You know, we're a region of the New York City Church of Christ, but our church name is the Hudson Valley Church. It's just easier to talk about it that way. It kind of gives us a bit of our own identity, and so I just, you know, wanted to make you aware of that tonight. Also wanted to mention that we have our own domain name, and you can see it up there. www.thehudsonvalleychurch.com. So you can share that with people. You can actually go to that website. It just redirects you to the page that's connected with the New York City Church of Christ webpage. But just wanted to make that available to you so you're aware of that and so that you can be sharing that with other people. We'll also be putting that out on things that we send out to you and that we send out to other people as well. So just a heads up on that. So the next thing I want to talk about is our mission statement. Having a direction in life personally is very important, and having a direction as a church is very important as well. And I think to some extent, we all sort of know what we're headed towards and what we're trying to do, but this gives us a specific vision and a focus for what we're doing. And then as we talk about some of the things that we're adding and some of the things that we're doing, we can talk about how those all fit into this mission and help us accomplish the mission that we're set out to do. Amen? Okay, so, and I will say this was something that I had originally crafted and worked on. I presented it to the core leadership group, and I'll talk about the core leadership group in just a minute. We talked through it, edited it a little bit, revised it, and then this is what we have. So let me read it, and then I actually have a couple questions for you, and then we'll reveal the new logo. So the Hudson Valley Church grows and produces mature disciples of Jesus who take on the character of Christ and by nature love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love one another and love their neighbor as themselves. So let me ask you this first, and then I'll talk some specifics about this. What scriptures do you see as influencing this mission statement? What scriptures do you see in there? I hear some mumbling out there. Are we sure that we know these? Go ahead, yeah. Okay, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We're actually going to talk about the Great Commission later today. Yeah, that's a big part of what we're trying to do. And what was the other one you mentioned, Mark? Oh, that was it? Okay. Go ahead. Matthew 22. Yep, the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. So that's another one. And then any others that you see in there? Yeah, Rick. Right, Deuteronomy 6. Yeah, that's where that idea of loving God with all that you are comes from. Great. And there's a couple more scriptures. I'll just mention this. John 13, verses 34 and 35. When Jesus is with the disciples, he says, love one another as I have loved you. So that's something that we're trying to do as disciples as well. The idea of producing mature disciples of Jesus who take on the character of Christ and by nature love God. So that section where producing mature disciples and taking on the character of Christ, that comes from different verses in both Colossians and Ephesians. Colossians 1, verse 28 talks about that we're teaching and admonishing everyone so as to present them fully mature in Christ. And you see similar verses in Ephesians as well. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to become fully mature in Jesus. I also wanted to mention that just the language in there, and by nature love God, that might seem a little bit strange. What do you mean by nature? Well, the reality for us is that because of our sinful nature, we don't love God in that way. We don't love one another in that way. And we don't love our neighbors as ourselves by nature. But as we grow in Christ, we more naturally learn to do that so that it becomes part of our character and we don't have to keep, think about it. I need to love my neighbor. It just becomes part of who we are. So that's what's meant by nature. And so I wanted to make you aware of this because as a church, this is what we are about. This is what we're trying to do. As a body, as the Hudson Valley Church, we grow and produce mature disciples who take on the character of Christ and by nature love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love one another, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so in a minute, we're going to talk about life groups. We're going to talk about life stage ministry events, how those help us accomplish this mission. And we're also going to talk about a spiritual assessment tool that's going to help us understand for us personally, am I making progress towards that mission in my own life? And we're going to be able to see through that tool, as a church, are we making progress towards this mission as well? Okay, cool, makes sense? All right, amen. Well, here's the new logo. And again, not that different than what we had prior, but it just reflects the new name, okay? So you have the banner up there. We'll be using that pretty frequently, especially in the e-bulletin, which Shirley's been doing a phenomenal job with that, and I'll send those over to Shirley. And then you can see, these two versions of the logo over here. So again, it's a way to brand things. It's a way to put these on things that we're putting out there to people. And so I wanted to make you aware of the new logo. Now, big shout out to Tiffany Del Fierro. We can give it up for Tiffany for creating these. I'd asked Tiffany a while ago to design these for us, just did a phenomenal job, and then recently asked her to redo it a little bit so that it reflected the new name, and of course she did that, and then I will say I so appreciate her because 2 days ago she had sent it to me, and I was like, oh, could you change this a little bit, and got it to me right away. So anyway, I appreciate it so that I could put it out there to you guys tonight. So thank you for that. All right, next thing I want to do is just put out there to you different people that are in leadership roles in the Hudson Valley Church. So again, lots of different roles that we have here. So let me just go through these, and you know, people can put their hands up so you can know who they are. I'm sure you do already, but of course, region leader Ryan Irby, that's me up here, so just so you're aware of that. Women's ministry leader Katie Irby, my wife, who's back with the kids right now. Our elder Mark Sanders, right over there. Steve is our teacher, so I hope you know you guys are aware of that. Teacher Steve Kennard. Our core leadership team. I wanted to, again, make you aware of this and talk about what our core leadership team does, just, you know, briefly stating that. And I just, before I even announce this, I just want to say how much I appreciate our core leadership team. They are a phenomenal group of people. I couldn't do this job without them. They function to help me to make decisions and talk through things. Oftentimes, we come together and meet. I'll present ideas to them. They'll help me think through those things. Like, that's a terrible idea. You need to rethink that. Or, yeah, this is great, and here's some other things to think about. They don't function as deacons, and they don't function as elders. They're just an advisory team, again, that helps me make decisions and really guides the direction of the church. So here's our core leadership team. Of course, Katie and I lead that team, but Steve and Lee Kennard are on that team. Mark and Fiona Sanders are on that team. Efren and Cindy, I think, who's in the back. Efren and Cindy Pensadas are on that team. Phil and Iris Zayas are on that team. And then Ryan and Lauren McCullough, who Lauren's repping for Ryan tonight. So just appreciate that group so much again, and I wanted to make you aware of who was on that team and a little bit about what they do. So I do want to ask that we give it up for that team, because again, they're awesome. So Ryan McCullough leads our worship team. He does a phenomenal job with that. Appreciate him so much. The next three things on there are our life stage ministry leaders. You know, we had created these a few months back and had started these as a way to be evangelistic. And I'll talk more about that in just a second. But I appreciate these guys so much, too, that have stepped up and done a phenomenal job with these groups. So Phil and Iris Zayas lead the mature marrieds. Ryan and Lauren McCullough lead the young families. And then the singles ministry is led by Mark and Fiona Sanders. Okay, so a few more leadership roles. I wanted to make this announcement tonight. We have new leadership for the teen ministry. So Shenard and Martine Noazer are stepping up to lead the teen ministry. I appreciate Shenard and Martine for so many reasons. They are just tremendous cooks and great servants as well. But I asked Shenard and Martine a little while ago if they would step into this role. We just felt like they'd be well suited for it, and so they very graciously accepted that. So I appreciate that about them. And I just wanted to mention that within the next couple of weeks, they're going to put out a calendar for the teen events for the fall and into December. So just be on the lookout for that. They're probably going to be tapping some shoulders of the teen parents to put those together. So I just wanted to make you aware of that, that they are in that role now, and that those events will be coming up in the fall and into December. Young teen preteen ministry is led by Lance and Crystal Saraceno. Where's Crystal's over there? There you go. Yep. And Mike and Annette Santori as well. They do just a tremendous job with the classes, and there'll be some events coming up for that ministry as well. You can see on there some question marks for children's ministry coordinators. It's a role that we haven't filled yet. It's something that we're looking into, that we're talking through, so please be praying for that. It's an incredibly important role in our youth and family ministry. It really sets the tone for our young people and the rest of their spiritual development. So just be praying for that, that some people can step up and fill that role. Campus ministry, we have Steve and Lee Kennard lead our campus ministry. Do a phenomenal job with that, so I appreciate you guys a ton for stepping into that role. And then we have Chris and Sherelle Reinhart, West Point, doing the West Point ministry. Have done a fantastic job with that, working with the cadets, are there cadets at West Point? Cadets, but really have done a tremendous job building relationships with them, so I appreciate so much you guys doing that. Recently, Nelson and Yvette Rivera have stepped into the service team leader role, and so I know Nelson's in the back. I think Yvette might be back with the kids. Already they have been doing a fantastic job. Honestly, I just appreciate the great work that you guys have been doing, service team leaders. We also have service team coordinators that I wanted to highlight. And so these coordinators have changed recently. So these are our most up-to-date service team coordinators, Paul and Shauna Blaine, Junior and Kathy Negron, Marty and Denise Dunn, and Angel and Roz Monge. Appreciate you guys being in that role. At the fall workshop, Yvette and Nelson are going to take some time to talk us through service teams, how that works, and so there are some opportunities for other people to step into that role, so just wanted to put that out there to you. Tonight, we'll be putting out there to you the life group leaders, so I want to just mention who these people are now. It's an important leadership role in our church. We've been going through training throughout the summer, and they're looking forward to stepping into that role and starting these groups pretty soon, in a couple weeks. So Phil and Iris Zayas, Nelson and Yvette Rivera, Benny and Lucy Perez, George and Tiffany Del Fierro, Rowan and Terry Carey, Ryan and Lauren McCullough, Mark and Elaine Calavaro, Mark and Fiona Sanders, Annette Santori, Shirley Crabb, Judy Alford, Melina Melendez, Rose Exantis, Katarina Olsonova, I think I said that right, could be wrong, and then Solange Mervell. Did I say that right too, Solange? Okay, amen. Just really appreciate that group stepping into that role, being willing to be trained and being willing to try something new. I mean, this is a pretty big transition in our church and what we're doing, so just appreciate people stepping into that role. So at this time, I'm actually going to dismiss Mark and the teens who went to teen camp. You guys are going to go in the back, and you're going to have a little follow-up from teen camp. I heard it was awesome. Woo! Okay, great. You guys can head to the back. So what I'd like to do next is talk about a little bit more about our life groups and life stage ministry events. I'm going to read a scripture, talk a little bit about these groups and how those groups help to fulfill our mission. So the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, this is Jesus at the end of his time here on earth, gathered his disciples together, and he said this to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now that's a high calling. That's a high challenge that Jesus was giving to his disciples at that time. And he said to go into all nations and make disciples of those nations. He said to baptize them, and he said to teach them to obey everything he has commanded us. And then he assures them of his presence, that he'd be with them to the very end of the age. And so we understand this, again, as the Great Commission. And I hope that you see this as an important part of the mission that we have here in the Hudson Valley. And so I want to break this down a little bit and talk about some of the things and structures that we have in place and that we'll be putting into place that helps us carry out this mission, the Great Commission. So Jesus says to go into all nations, making disciples of them, right, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the baptism part of that is helping people to understand who Jesus is and then making the decision that, yes, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to lay down my life and make Jesus the Lord of it. And I want to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. That's the process of baptism. In lots of scriptures we've talked about when it comes to baptism. So that process for us looks, you know, different depending on the person and depending on the situation. But basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to introduce people to Jesus, teach them about who he is, and help them get to the point where they can make that decision. So one of the sort of unspoken structures that we have is studying the Bible with people, right? And that's something that we're going to continue to do. That's something that we will always do here in the Hudson Valley Church. That's how we teach people about who Jesus is. But the question is, well, how do we get people to that point? Well, it looks different depending on the person. Sometimes we invite people to church. Sometimes we meet somebody, we have a conversation with somebody, and we just ask them, hey, you seem like you're somebody who would be interested in studying the Bible. And so we sit down and we study the Bible with them. But sometimes it takes a bit more effort and intentionality with that. Sometimes it takes bringing people in and introducing them to the body first and helping them to see what the body is like and what Christians are like. And in our day and age, especially for my generation, it's hard sometimes to invite people to a Bible discussion or even to church. Sometimes people will come to that, but sometimes people are more interested in coming to a fun event where there's other people at their same life stage, their same place in life, where they can connect with disciples and again, learn more about God that way and get connected with people that way. So that's why we created the Life Stage Ministry events. This is one way that we have to introduce people to the body. It's an evangelistic tool. So we've been having great events. Again, you know, the Mature Marys have an event coming up, a barbecue at the Riveras. The Young Families have an event coming up, the hike this Saturday. Which I should mention this. Let me just take a time out because I forgot to mention this before and I just thought of this when I was talking with Lauren. So it's at Nyack Beach. When you go to Nyack Beach, you have to pay a small fee to park. I think it's like $6 or something like that, unless you have an Empire Pass, which is a cool thing to get. But anyway, the lot below is actually closed where you typically park. So you just have to park up top, up by the plateau. Okay, so just a side note for that. Okay, so Life Stage Ministry events. So this is our evangelistic tool and what we're trying to do. But, you know, I hope that you see how this helps us accomplish our mission, right? If we're going to be a place that grows and produces disciples, we've got to be bringing people into the body. And that evangelistic tool, Life Stage Ministry events, is one way that we can bring people in that the goal is to be effective with that. And so we've got to know that, okay, these events are coming up, and this is what these events are for, and I'm going to be inviting people out to this and having this on my mind and in my heart as a way to accomplish the mission that we're setting out to do here in the Hudson Valley. So Jesus goes on to say that you're baptizing them, and we're teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now that process begins prior to baptism, but teaching someone to obey everything Jesus has commanded, I mean, that's a lifelong process, right? Obeying everything is something that we're constantly learning. It's something that we're constantly growing in, right? And the goal is that, you know, by the end of our lives, we'd get there, but we need help with that process. And so the question is, well, how does that process take place? Well, one way that we do that is through individual spiritual disciplines, studying the Bible, praying, meditating, fasting. I mean, there's a plethora of other ways that we engage the disciplines, or a plethora of other disciplines that we engage for personal spiritual development. But the other way that this happens, that's talked a lot about in the New Testament, especially in Ephesians and in Colossians, is this one another relationship. As I'm just even thinking now, the passage that I mentioned before, Colossians 1, verse 28, and also in Colossians 3, verse 16, talks about teaching one another to obey. Talks about teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude in your heart to God. And so the way that we grow, the way that we mature, the way that we develop is also done through our one another relationships. So the life groups are in place to help facilitate that. It's a structure that we've added to help us to grow and to mature into Christ. And so I hope that you see that. I hope that that makes sense and that's clear. And so I want to tell you just a few things about the life groups now, and then we'll get into some more specifics with that in just a minute. But our life groups are going to be small groups of disciples, so members of the church here, 4 or 5 people. You're going to get together every week. So the first week of the month, it's going to be men's midweek. The next week, we'll meet in life groups. The following week will be women's midweek, so our typical schedule. And then the following week, we'll be in life groups again. And those weeks when we're meeting in life groups, the idea is that you're coming together. The life group leaders will be facilitating the discussion. You know, I'll send them questions that are related to the sermon or some other topic to address. And the goal is to facilitate a discussion and enable the group to be able to teach and admonish one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to help each other grow. That's the goal of our life groups. And so I'll be talking more specifics about how that's going to work, especially at the fall workshop. So that'll be an important thing to attend. But I wanted to say at least a little bit about that here now. I also wanted to talk about spiritual and self-evaluation. So as we think about our church mission, we have to ask ourselves, are we accomplishing our goal? Are we completing our mission? And there's a lot of different ways that we can answer that question. But one way that we can do that is through a spiritual evaluation. And I'll talk about how that's going to work in just a minute. But if that's going to work, we also need to think about that at an individual level as well. Right? We all have a goal, we all have a mission, and we all have a purpose. And so how are we doing accomplishing that mission and that purpose? Well, that all begins with self-evaluation, with spiritual evaluation. And the scriptures talk about that. The scriptures not only encourage that, but command that we do that. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. This is the end of Psalm 139. This talks about the presence of God, this intimacy with God. And the psalmist finishes with this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So there's that whole idea of self-evaluation, of spiritual evaluation. It's a process that we undertake with God, asking God to help search us and test us and, you know, see where we are with these things. Where it says, "See if there's any offensive way in me," offensive could also be translated idolatrous. See if there's any idolatrous way in me, and let's get rid of that so I can be better for you, so I can be in better relationship with you. And that's what's meant by, "and lead me in the everlasting way," a.k.a. help me to grow. That's what that passage is encouraging. And then we see in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, this is Paul. Remember, he's writing to the church in Corinth. These are believers. And this is what he says: "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. That's a challenging and a convicting passage. Because remember, he's writing to disciples. He's writing to people who are saying, I believe in God. I believe in Christ. But he said, hold on a second before you get on your high horse, so to speak. He says, test yourselves to really see if you're in the faith. And I think that's something sometimes that we're afraid to do. It's sometimes we're afraid to really go there because we're afraid of what we're going to see. But we've got to be willing to go there. We've got to be willing to test ourselves. We've got to be willing to see what's there so we can move forward. And that's the goal. The goal of the testing and the self-examination is not to condemn. It's to reveal the truth so that you can move forward. And that's the goal of God. And so we've got to do that for ourselves. And we've got to be willing to, as a church, take a look at that as well. And there's lots of different ways that we can do that, but I want to introduce one way to you tonight that I believe will be an effective way for us to do that. So there is a measurement tool out there known as the Christian Life Profile Assessment. It was developed by a guy by the name of Randy Frazee. He also had a team of people that helped him develop the tool. They're not part of our church. They're evangelicals. But they came up with this assessment tool that I believe is really helpful and will be helpful for us. So it's a 120-item assessment. So that sounds like a lot, but I'll talk you through that. I won't take super long to complete it. But the idea is that it's measuring three different areas of the Christian life. Christian beliefs, so what do you believe? Christian disciplines or practices, and then Christian virtues. So it measures those three areas. Let me say this as well, and I'll make a couple points about this. So as you take this, I'm going to ask that we all take this as Christians, that we all take this together, and I'll talk about why in a minute. But I did want to mention that it's anonymous. Okay, so as you take it, it's going to ask you to input your email address. So the email address that you're putting in does not come back to me. I won't see it. It'll actually be detached from the survey results. You're putting in your email so that you can get your results back and some feedback back. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But once it comes to me, I don't see your email. You'll be given an identification number, and I have no idea, who is connected with those responses. But what it's going to do, it's going to provide info regarding strengths and weaknesses for personal growth. So after you complete it, you'll get some information back that highlights, okay, here are some of your strengths, and here are some of your areas for growth. So it's going to give you some personal information back. And the goal of this is to provide a measurement tool for individuals, so for you, for your own spiritual growth, and also data to evaluate church mission progress. So basically, again, you get some responses back, some information back, and then I get the results from everybody, and I can look at it from a congregational standpoint. So I can see, what some of our strengths and weaknesses are as a congregation. So that's going to help me to make some decisions around, well, what are some of the structures that we have in place? Are those helping us? Are those effective? What are some of the things that I should be preaching about or teaching about and so forth? What are some of the things that we should be talking about in our life groups? I ask that as you take the assessment, that you please pray and take time to reflect before and while you're completing. It's going to be easy to just click on the assessment tool and just, punch in some answers and then see what your, responses are. But that's not going to be helpful for you. It's not going to be effective for you that way, and it's not going to be helpful for us as a church as well. Take the time to pray, maybe even fast beforehand if you're able to do that, and then take the assessment. I also want to mention that there are Spanish and English translations available, along with online and paper versions. So let me just explain a couple things around that. So The link to take the assessment will be sent out tomorrow, I think around 10 a.m. And then you have, you know, all kinds of time to be able to take that. I'm asking that you please take the assessment and finish it by the Sunday before the fall workshop. Okay, so I think that's September 1st. So please take it by that time. So you can, there'll be an English translation link and a Spanish translation link. So you can click on either one of those and take those. I also have, like I said, paper versions up here. So if you want to take a paper version, that's fine. You can take that. But eventually that input or how you responded needs to be inputted online so that you can get your feedback and also so that I can get that data. So the way to do that, if you're not very tech savvy, is just find someone that you trust and then ask them to put in the data for you or at least open it up for you so you can put in your responses, and then you click submit and then your results come back and then it's emailed back to you. If the person doesn't have an email, then I'm going to ask you to create one for them. And again, that's a way so that they can identify themselves and so they can get that input back. And I'll take questions on this in just a minute. I just wanted to explain a couple more things and then talk about the life group leader selection in a minute and a half. So, yeah, you can, oh, there you go, okay. So this is what the initial part of the assessment looks like. So it has some instruction in there, and then you can see item one, I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God. Now, you might be thinking, well, yeah, of course, that's an obvious answer. But just, I ask that, especially with the belief questions, so there's lots of different belief questions in there, to not just react and answer the question. Take time to ask yourself, okay, do I really believe this all the time? Or are there some times where I doubt or I struggle with this particular belief? Okay, so take the time to really think through that and also the other items as well. I will mention that there is an item in there about fasting. And with fasting, it's not just about fasting from food. If you fast from other things, you can answer the question accordingly. Okay, because I know some people, because of health reasons, are not able to fast. So if you're able to, if you fast in other ways, you can answer it in that way. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. But that's how the assessment works. So you'll fill all that out, click on your responses. There's some demographic data at the end, so fill that out, and then click submit. And then you'll get this back, which is hard to see, but it'll give you like a beliefs bar, and it gives you, you know, out of 200 practices, out of 200 virtues, out of 200, and then the specifics in terms of how you scored in those areas. So you can see your areas of strength and also areas for growth as well. You can click it again. And then after that, there's some places in there for you to reflect and say, you know, what do you think about your strengths and weaknesses? And then it gives you an opportunity to develop a personal plan for spiritual growth. And then who's going to be involved with that process with you? So this part of it you're going to use in your life groups, I think either the second or the third time you get together. So this is going to be important for you to complete, to think through, and then bring to your life group at some point. Your life group is going to be an important group for you in terms of helping you to grow in these different areas. So that's a little bit about the Christian Life Profile Assessment. I'll take questions on that in just a minute. Because I also wanted to talk about the life group leader selection. So I believe if you have the Remind app or you get those notifications that you have the spreadsheet of all the life group leaders, the times that they'll meet, the location that they'll meet, and the day of the week that they'll meet as well. So you can scan that, look through that, pray about that. Please spend time, you know, praying about which life group leader you would like to be teamed up with. I also say this, at the end of that spreadsheet, there's some notes because some people have flexibility, so you can take that into account. So you're going to take a look at that. again, prayerfully decide which life group you'd like to be a part of. And then tomorrow, I think at 9 a.m., I have another link sent out for you to make your selection. So what the form says is, you know, it'll input your name, so you put your full name in there, and then your first life group leader choice. So who's your number one choice? Put that person in there. And then you'll have choice number two. So if that doesn't work out, then you'll be able to put in choice number two. And then number three, if that doesn't work out, then, you know, your third choice. Here's the goal, and here's my intention. My intention and my goal is that everybody gets their first choice. But because the groups are small, it may not work out that way. So then my next objective is to get everybody in at least their second choice. Okay? So, you know, make sure you're thinking through that. And if that doesn't work out, and I'm praying that that's not the case, but if it just works out that way, then, you know, who would be your third choice? So please make your selection by that September 1st time as well, before the fall workshop, so that at the fall workshop, what I can do is I can post, here are all the life groups, here's when they meet. And then actually at the fall workshop, you're going to have some time to meet together in your life group for just a few minutes. But I think that's it. A lot of information, a lot going on, a lot of exciting things. Honestly, I'm extremely excited about, you know, all these things that are coming up, all these changes that are happening. I believe that the Spirit is guiding us in a great way, as he always does. So I ask that you pray about these things and take the time to reflect and, you know, and take part in these things. So let me ask real quick if there's just a couple questions that are pertinent to the whole group. If you have a question that's just pertinent to you, then I ask that you come up afterwards and, you know, I'll address those. I know that we're a little bit over time, but I do want to take some questions that are relevant for the whole group. So any of those questions at this time? You don't respond to that. You're going to have a link tomorrow that'll be sent out, and then you click that and you respond to that. Yep. So there is some of that, yep. So as far as the singles go and the marrieds go, so if you're a single person, then look for a leader who is a single person as well. If you're a married person, then select that group, a person who's married. And here's the reason why I want it to work that way. Because these groups, we're going to talk about stuff, right? The stuff that's really going on in our lives. And so for a singles group to meet, you're going to be able to relate and connect and help each other based on that stuff. With a married group, it's the same situation. I want people to be able to talk about their marriages and parenting and so forth and be able to help each other out with that. So, yes, thanks for that clarification. Any other questions? Corinne. Yep. Yep, so once you sign up for a group, that's going to be your group. Now, there may be some situations where, let's say, somebody has a job change or they're finding out that, man, I just can't meet at this time. I'm having a hard time with it. We may move somebody over to another group. So there are some of those situations, and I encourage you to come and talk to me about those so we can address those. But for the most part, these will be the groups. Yep, you go separately, unless the group, there are some cases where the group meets on the same night, you just have to look at the group leaders. Now I'll say this, you know, George and Tiffany are leading a group. If another married couple like Mike and Corinne, let's say Mike wanted to be with George, but Corinne wanted to be with somebody, you know, another married person, that's fine, she can do that. No, didn't mean anything by that, you just were sitting there, so. but it doesn't have to work out, you know, like that, so. Yes, Lucy. Yes. Yep, so at the fall workshop, when you meet with your group, That'll be a time to talk about, okay, does this time work for everybody? I'm flexible. What works for you? What works for you? And then... Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I'll say this too, if people don't list flexibility, then that's the night that they can meet. So only sign up if you're able to meet on that night. If the person is saying they're flexible, and once you get together with that group and you're trying to figure out, I would say work it out so that the majority of the people can meet on that particular night. And if, you know, a couple other people aren't able to, then we'll have to sort things out and figure out another group for those people. Not right now. Yeah, just because it would be hard for me to sort through that initially. Let's try to sort that out at the fall workshop. Yeah, good question though. Any other questions about that? Feel free to email me with those. I'll take just a couple more questions, but feel free to email me with those and we can talk through those. Yeah, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, yep, sorry. Right, yeah, exactly, yep. So this is different than Bible Talk. So just guys will be meeting in that group of four or five, and that might be a different night, and then the wives or the spouses will meet a different night. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, they have different dates. There are some married couples, though, that are meeting on the same night at the same time. They might be at, like, I think Phil and Iris, I think you guys are meeting the same night at the same time, so you just be in, different places in the house. So. What's that? Yep, so, like, yep. So Yash, like, for example, he would meet one night in the week, and then Victoria, you would meet one night in the week as well. Yep, so, and part of the thinking with married couples having it on different nights is so that childcare could be provided. For example, if Katie's out one night at her life group, then I'd be at home with the kids, and then vice versa. It'd switch on the other night, so. Oh, yeah. You just have to work that out some other way. Or if it works out that night, maybe just the wives are meeting, but you can get the kids together somewhere. The husbands could facilitate that. So you just have to work that out. Sure. Yep. Any other questions? Last one. Yes. Yeah, so I'd highly encourage meeting with people, discipling people. Like, let's say, Phil and I disciple each other, but we're not in the same group. Hey, let's get together a different night, and we're still going to get together and talk. If you can still have a Bible talk, too, if you want. Like, let's say Tuesday, Thursday is when your life group meets, but, hey, we want to have a Bible talk on Friday night. Amen, go for that. I'm not discouraging Bible talks by any means. But we just wanted to create a structure in place to help facilitate discipling because we believe it's important. We know it's important. So here's some time in the schedule to do that. Yep, life stage ministry events are a great time to do that as well. Yep, absolutely. Okay, one more quick one. Yep, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so with the singles ministry, we're working on getting some events like that out there and planning those. And so I will say, for example, you know, if you guys fit more in the young families group, but hey, we have somebody that we're reaching out to that's, you know, a mature married, I'm sure Phil and Iris would be cool with you guys taking them to that. You know, I don't want to speak for Phil, but... And same thing with the singles ministry events. If you have a single friend and, hey, there's this event going on and I want to take them to this, hey, go ahead and let's go to that. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, I'm way over time. Let me say a quick prayer and then we'll dismiss. And then you can bring up other questions with me if you need to. God in heaven, we thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for loving us, believing in us. And taking care of us the way that you do. Thank you for time together tonight. Thank you for this room of amazing disciples, all the great things you're doing in their lives, and God, all the great things that you're doing here in the Hudson Valley Church. Bless our plans, God. We want to have a place and a church that glorifies you. We put these plans before you, and I just pray that you would bless them in every way. Thank you for Jesus. Again, thank you for tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.